Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs in chapter 11. We began Proverbs 11 last week and went down through some of it. And so we, here in verse 9, the Bible says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." It almost seems like, you ever sometimes feel like, why is the preacher always harping on something? You ever thought about, I've thought about that, you know, when I wasn't the, I'm like, what? And then I'm the one doing it. I'm like, I'm not trying to get back to the same thing. It just seems like sometimes God just has those things connected. You know, it was there. We were dealing with it in 1 Corinthians. We were dealing with it there in James. And now here we are. And maybe the Lord's saying, some of y'all better watch your tongue. No, maybe it's, we need to be aware. You know, sometimes God tells us something because we need to straighten up. And sometimes He tells us because there's going to be a temptation coming and we want to make the right choice. And so, listen, I don't try to pretend to know God's will on all the reasons He's doing the things He does. I just want to be obedient. Amen. So it's number one here, the hypocrite. The hypocrite. So this word in the Hebrew originally had the intent of a godless person. So, yeah, hypocrite, it's in verse 9. I usually try to give you, I usually try to give you words that are there, but that's not true at all. I usually try to keep you guessing. But the word in Hebrew, this word for hypocrite, originally had the intent of a godless person. That was what was being dealt with. It was a godless person. Yeah, if you try to guess that one ahead of time, you're gonna miss that. You're gonna be off. One that was without Christ, or in this sense, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, without the law of God. The hypocrite is somebody without the law of God. And though irreligious or non-religious, they would pretend that they were religious. So this is the idea of the hypocrite, is that they would start, or that they would be without religion. They would either be non-religious, or which means just, you know, kind of, they don't care, or whatever. I'm not interested. I don't care. Irreligious, which would be they would be opposed to it at times, right? And so some would be like that, but then they would pretend to be religious, pretend to be a follower, to be in the midst of it. So number two, they would perform the role of a religious person with the intent to deceive, with the intent to deceive. And so this was what their purpose was. They would get in there and they would pretend. That's why we talk about hypocrite today. The idea is, and it is always this pretending, and it's this acting, and we call it an actor. But the idea was a godless person acting like a saved person, or somebody that follows God, to get in to be a deceiver. And so what they would do is they flatter with their tongue. They flatter with their tongue. And so, number one, flattery isn't friendly. See, here's where we have a little bit of a challenge. I'm going to tell you where we have a challenge with this in the English language. The English language is very flowery. I didn't really realize that until I started, you know, studying other languages and this and that. You know, other languages are rude. They just are. They say things, you know. I mean, we have in Sri Lanka, they'd come up and say, "Hey, I see you're fat." They would. They'd call you fat all the time. You're like, "Excuse me." And I mean, I know, but don't point it out, you know. And this is going to be a little gross, but I'm trying to help you understand this. So in Quebec, the French language, there's different things they would talk. I'm not going to say it all, but they would talk about some medical issues that weren't comfortable in a public setting. You're like, I don't want to know that. TMI, what we would say. You know, I mean, that's just too much, you know. And so some other languages have this, it's just say it. And so they seem rude because when they learn English, they speak English the way they spoke their native tongue, and it doesn't have any of those niceties in it. English language is so flowery. Now, American English is a little less. British English is, oh, everything's lovely. Oh, it's lovely. Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely. It's lovely. It's like, come on, everything's not lovely. Slow it down. You know? Now, American English isn't quite like the British English, but it's still, we have in our vernaculars a lot of things to be real flowery or to be real flattery. And so, you say, so should we be rude? And I'm just going to tell people like it is. No. That's not this kind of flattery. I'm not talking about just being kind and nice. Okay, I'm not talking about that. There's part of it. You know, if somebody comes up, they're wearing something that you don't particularly care for. Well, I just got to be honest. Got to be honest. I think that's ridiculous. You should go change. No, don't do that. Don't do that. We're not trying to tell somebody, you know, what you... So the thing is this, if somebody has something to, you know, hey, what do you think? I think it looks nice on you. Is that fully true? I don't know. I don't want to wear it. You know, my girls always ask me, hey, how do you think this, what do you think about this? I always say I wouldn't wear it. I hate questions about how does this look. My wife asked me almost, and I think she looks beautiful in anything. Amen? That's not flattery either. Sounded like that is the truth. I believe that. And so, but I do tell her that a lot. So, flattery, though, as we're talking about here, it has a purpose to entrap. To entrap is the blank there under that. Maybe it's to gain pity, right? Maybe to gain trust, and see, maybe even to solicit a favor. Solicit a favor. Oh, man, you are so good at stuff. You're so nice and you're so sweet. You're the most godliest person I've ever seen. Or maybe you say something like that. You know, their singing voice is so good. You know what they ought to do? Anyway, I'm kidding. All right, somebody will get that. It was a joke early. Sorry. Number two. The hypocrite flatters for the purpose of their own gain. It's selfish gain. It's this kind of thing. They're doing it for the purpose of conniving, right? And thinking about how can I manipulate this person? How can I use this kind of thing? And so eventually it turns into the hurt and harm of others. You know what I hate? I hate to admit that I never know if people are honest. I'll have a good conversation with someone. You know, we'll talk, we have a good conversation. Man, I think it went really well. I think we had a good conversation. And then something transpires down the road. You're like, okay, that wasn't a good conversation. And I thought, man, they said we were good and you know. So I'll tell my wife, she'll say, well, how'd it go? I said, oh, it went really well. She said, well, that's what you said last time. I said, well, I believed it last time, too. You know, I've come to realize that I don't want to just say people are liars. No, I don't want to say that. But there's this thing of it's really hard to know. And I'm not saying we need to be brutally honest with people to where we hurt people. But I'm telling you, not being honest hurts people later. By the way, I'm not talking about outfits and stuff like that again, right? I'm talking about real things. I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about things that matter. It's better to be truthful with somebody. And let's don't cross this line of being brutally honest. Okay? I don't think we never see that in the Scriptures. Being brutally honest means we hurt somebody with the truth. If the truth hurts somebody, because of how we're presenting it, then we're not doing it right. Okay? Now, sometimes the truth does hurt, but it ought not be how we deliver it. Right? You understand like that? So, eventually, as the proverb says here, it destroys his neighbor. That's what it says in verse 9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. We're not talking about something that's just, oh man, I thought you really liked that. I look like an idiot. Right? You ever had somebody say, yeah, that you look really good, and then you go out and you don't? And you're like, you lied to me. And then somebody else says, that is hideous. Who would ever wear that dress out in public? You know, or whatever. And we don't talk like that to each other. I'm just saying some of these things. But we're not talking about that. So we're talking about things that hurt. And matter of fact, this here says destroys. There's people that they're, can you imagine there's people's goal out there is to destroy their neighbor? Then number two, let's look at then the just. The just. Verse 9, let's continue the second half of it. Let's read it again. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. And we know that Proverbs constantly have this. The evil does this, the righteous does this. The wicked does this, the righteous, the just does this. So there's constantly this back and forth. He's given us, and this is how we receive wisdom. Okay, this bad, this good, right? It's really simple as that. The consequences of this is this. The reward of this is this. Okay, this is how the Proverbs, how Solomon was teaching through most of these Proverbs in that kind of way. So, A, the just has knowledge. We've talked about knowledge quite a bit here recently. So, what knowledge do you think that the just might have? Go ahead. What knowledge do you think we're talking about? Wisdom. Thank you. Good. Whew. That could have just kept going on and on, but it came out right. Wisdom is what we're talking about. This wisdom comes from the Word of God, right? Look here. Wisdom comes from here. I wish I had some other books up here. I don't. It doesn't come from there. Wisdom doesn't come from other books. Wisdom comes from here. Now, somebody can tell us and help us to understand maybe some of this. That's okay. I'm not going to say that. But wisdom has to, this is the source. So when we're talking about wisdom, it's something that comes from the Word of God. It's what God is showing us. He's telling us. He's directing us in. So really important to understand. That's the knowledge that's being talked about, that wisdom. So B, the just shall be delivered. That's what he says there. The just shall be delivered. So, the just has been delivered a lot through history. We're not talking about being delivered by the parting of the Red Sea, or being delivered by getting water from a rock, or by getting manna from heaven. All of those things are ways God's people have been delivered. That's not what we're talking about here. No, the just shall be delivered from the hypocrite through knowledge. That's what it says there in verse 9. It says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. We're delivered from those that would fool, deceive, and hurt us with their mouth. I mean, all those things we're deceived by. We're delivered from all of those things by the knowledge of the Word of God. That's why it's so important to receive and pass on wisdom. So important. This is where our delivery, this wisdom that we possess of the Word of God is what delivers us from destruction. So, here's the idea. And I know this maybe sounds a little contrary to what we say a lot of times, but when this particular situation of the hypocrite that's using his tongue to destroy us, we're not sitting there saying, God, would you deliver me from this guy? Imagine God saying, I've already given you the tools to be delivered. It's not something else that's going to come. I'm not going to move something else. I'm not going to do something else. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. God has already given us, potentially, if we've read and received the Word of God, He's given us what we need to not be deceived and to be delivered from these problems. And so we have to think about this in a way of listen, you ever asked God for some, God help me, and He didn't? Yeah? You asked God do this, and God didn't, and God do that, and He didn't. And yet, could you imagine God say, well, didn't you? I mean, God doesn't, but imagine God say, well, didn't you know this? We're like, well, yeah, but I thought you would do something, God. He said, imagine God saying, I did. I gave you the knowledge, gave you the understanding of how to deal. Yeah, but I just... God isn't trying to give us this to fill us up just so we can be smart in an essay, right? Or in a debate. God wants to give us this understanding of the Word of God that we might apply it when the occasion comes. So sometimes we learn it way ahead of time. And God brings it, the Spirit of God brings it to remembrance. And so He's given it to us. And so what we find here is that the just is delivered. It's a wonderful thought here. Through knowledge, the just shall be delivered. Then number three, those void of wisdom. Look at verse 12 now. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. So again, we have this thing. So, A, the word despised here, it was talking about despising the one that says he is void of wisdom, despiseth his neighbor. The word despise is to belittle or to show contempt. When I first came into my neighborhood, I was getting around and told people we're moving in. And I had several other neighbors begin to talk to me. They're like, yeah, this guy is that, and this guy, you know, he's a good guy. This guy, he's a jerk, you know, and this one, he, you know, and all this. Wow, okay. And I always decide when I hear stuff like that, I'm going to make my own opinion, you know, because sometimes, and so I asked, but I did ask, I said, well, why don't you like him? He said, well, he calls the cops on us. Like, so, I mean, this is the, I said, well, you know, why did he call the cops? Well, you know, I was doing this thing. You know, so, but here was what, by the way, this would probably be one void of understanding, I would say, this fella, but he was belittling his neighbor. He was having contempt for his neighbor. And what we're talking about here in this portion of Proverbs is how we deal with people in society. Right? Outside of church and outside of the house of God, we're dealing with these people. And so, number one under that, it's an attitude of pride or judgmentalism. How we treat our neighbor is an important part of our use of wisdom. You know, we have this wisdom. I could go on to say one of the main things that God wants us to do is reach our neighbor, reach our community. But it's not always that. Sometimes it's just how we deal with society. There's things coming at us, and God has given us the toolbox if we'll receive it. Sometimes, though, somebody could sit here in a service like this, listening to this stuff, and they'll have their eyes wide open, and it just... they're thinking about what we're going to eat afterwards, right? I've been guilty of that. I'm not saying always them. It's, you know, sometimes they're like, man, I hope he's finished because my stomach is saying it's time to go. You know what I mean? We ought not live like them. Sometimes that happens, but sometimes people make a habit of it, and they're there, and they don't get it, or they'll get knowledge, but never really use it. Never really apply it and make it something that's part of their life. And God isn't just filling us. He's trying to give us some tools that we can use when life comes at us in that way. And so how we treat our neighbors is important. Wisdom takes spiritual knowledge and applies it practically in our lives. So it takes these spiritual truths, these biblical pieces of knowledge, which is wisdom, and applies it practically. How does that look like in real life? Well, that's just preaching stuff, right? Well, that's just Bible-y stuff that we talk about when we're talking about Bible-y stuff. No. It's meant to be part of our life. Do you ever hear things preached and you're like, you know what? I need to make that change in my life. I need to make that. You know, I study and say, ow, sometimes. And I'm thinking, you know, I want to say this. I think sometimes what we ought to do is find a way to cement that in. That's kind of what our altar is for sometimes. Sometimes the altar is a way we cement something in. God speaks to my heart. I'm out here. God speaks to my heart about something. I'm thinking, wow, that's me. That's exactly. And so at the end, when it comes time for the invitation, we're being invited to come. And listen, it's a lot of times why people don't come forward? Because they don't want everybody else to know that I had to get that thing right. You know how I know that? We're all the same boat. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, man, there's a message one time it was preached on like adultery and some other things. I'm like, if I go up forward, they're going to see. You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, God, I'm going to deal with this one here. You know, I mean, listen, but we can get so worried about some things. But I'm saying it concretes in. God speaks to us about something. It's concrete in the God, this is a change. God, this is a change I need to make. I want to deal with that thing. And so it takes that spiritual knowledge and applies it practically in our life. Number two, the person void of wisdom despises their neighbor. To despise one's neighbor reveals that you either do not have wisdom or you're not using it. So it's what it says. Now, I hate my neighbors. Man, you know what we just learned tonight? We can't say that and be right. And I hate those neighbors. No, they just drive me crazy. Oh, man, yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not saying we can't say that, but the fact is, if the one void of wisdom is the ones that despise and they do things to hurt. And I'm going to set up my sprinkler where it gets their car. You know what I mean? Or something. You know, I'm going to do something that's... I mean, listen. All of us tonight say, man, that's guilty. You know what I mean? We've done things. But that's what's good about getting into something different in the Word of God. The Proverbs are so full of these little nuggets that it... Part of it's good and part of it's painful. Because you find all these little things. The guy said, oh, man, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about trying to get some knowledge to say, God's going to say, I want to help you to know how to be delivered from the problems here. And so to despise our neighbor, though, is sin. Look over to chapter 14. Man, I thought it was just bad behavior. No. Look at verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 21, he says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Well, who is my neighbor? Well, I'm not going to count them as my neighbor. No. Who is my neighbor? Really, I'm not going to count the people I don't like as my neighbor. No, who is my neighbor? Anybody that comes in contact. Well, they don't live in my neighborhood. No, that's not how it works. Sometimes the neighbor is the one that's on that road with you. You're driving. Right. Sometimes your neighbor is the one in the there's people in the grocery store. They put their cart in the middle and walk over to the side. Aren't those some of the worst people on the planet? You know what I mean? Like, can't you just anyhow? But we got to, you know, what we're talking about. This thing of despising them is an action. We got to sometimes, man, these people just annoy me. That's okay. Just you can't not be annoyed. You can't not be annoyed. I mean, it's like saying, you know, you just need to like onions. I don't like onions. You can't make me say I can eat them, but I'm never going to like them. Thank you. I like them now. No. I mean, things happen to us that we, same thing with some people do things that can annoy you. But the thing is, what we're talking about, this despise, is how do we react to that? So, number four, last thing, number four, the man of understanding. We're back in Proverbs 11, Verse 12, it says there, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Well, that's easy, right? So, A, the tongue doesn't always have to be used. Newsflash, you don't always have to say something. Let me read that again. Verse 12. I hear a little mumbling. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Wisdom that has changed the heart is able to hold his peace or her peace. Y'all know what I mean right there. That doesn't mean that the annoying or wicked neighbor is right. Okay, see, this is what we have to realize. Look here, folks. Just because we hold our peace doesn't mean we make them right. I have my mind sometimes, if I don't say something, who's going to? Well, why don't we just let the man void of understanding deal with that? Because I don't want to... Listen, you want to know how to be delivered? Knowledge. Knowledge says, if I'm the one that's going to do that thing, it doesn't help me. Doesn't help me to get in that thing, but holding my peace, it's like, man, holding my peace, that's really tough. I know, but when we have a heart that's been changed by God... So here's where holding our peace hurts. Because I really want to say mean things and hurt them. But when I realize from knowledge that hurting people isn't what pleases God, hurting people, by the way, isn't going to help me, holding my peace doesn't hurt me anymore. It says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into that drama. I'm going to stay out of it. But it doesn't mean the person's right. I think maybe I'm just talking about from my own experience. But I feel like sometimes if I don't say something, I'm letting them get away with it. And if I'm letting them get away with it, and just somebody's got to. No. That's what I want us to see tonight. It's not our responsibility. Vengeance is mine, saith the preacher. No, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He's going to take care of it. Can we trust God to take care of it? No, we could say, but I mean, do we trust God to take care of it? That's what when we get to that place, that's what knowledge gives us. God will take care of it. I don't have to. Sometimes you got to get in your mind, God will take care of it. I don't have to. You're like telling yourself, I can let it go. Whew. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, sometimes we have to do that. I'm just saying. Yeah, a lot of prayer. God, take care. No. So, it means that we are going to be righteous, not contentious. That's what it means is when we hold our peace. So there is no value in making an enemy out of your neighbors when we can just keep our mouths shut. There's just no point in it. There's no value in it, making an enemy out of it. And then number five, I said four was the last one, didn't I? I was wrong. Man, I got a lot more to go. Verse. How did I do that? No, we're going to do it. Number five, the secrets. Verse 13. No, we're not. No, I got two more pages. I've got like a quarter of my time left. So, So we'll get back there next week. We're gonna find out the secret of the secrets. Amen. Listen, folks. Proverbs is an exciting book. It is. It's got these pieces in there. And the thing is about this, it's kind of like buckshot. You know what I mean? It's like just. You know what I mean by buckshot? Not buckshot. It's more like birdshot. I mean, just everywhere. You know what I mean? Just, and it just shoots every, and get all these holes. And God deals with a lot of different things. And here He's talking about this. He's talking about this. Talking about that. And so. You don't really go expository necessarily through Proverbs because it seems like Solomon was schizophrenic or something or bipolar. It's like what you're talking. What you just changed subjects on us, and now there is a scheme to it. There is, but it's a big thing. Imagine trying to give your kids and God giving His children just a whole bowl full of some truths that are going to help us. Knowledge will deliver us. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd use Your Word. I pray that these things that we read and we study and we understand, knowledge of wisdom, Lord, I pray that it would be Lord, become a part of our life and really a part of our direction. Lord, help us to take your word. Pray that the Spirit of God would bring these passages and these thoughts to mind when we get in these situations. Lord, pray that you'd help me. Help me to hold my peace when I need to. And Lord, help your people. I pray that you'd bless us now in Jesus' name.